Can you comment a little bit more in general about this neurotoxicity? And when you work them up, what do you see on imaging? Anything in their cerebrospinal fluid? And what's going on?
So I think there's a lot of work still trying to be done to understand exactly why that is. And, you know, this is a class effect in that other agents that activate T cells like blinatumomab and others will cause these types of symptoms too. So clearly the activation of the immune system, particularly the activation of T cells, has a profound role. And in the blinatumomab case, there was some discussion about understanding the ratios of Ts and B cells to try and predict that.
Is this like a cerebritis?
Well, interestingly, it actually seems to be largely cytokine-mediated because the evaluation neurologically is actually quite bland. And a lot of the testing hasn't really shown clear-cut inflammatory changes that could point to just sort of treat with more steroids to shut it down.
How many patients have you treated or had who got CAR T-cell therapy?
We actually were a little late to the game in this whole process, and so different to the groups at Memorial and the groups at the NCI and UPenn and the Hutch, we really kind of came in as the trials were being rolled out to more centers. So we've only treated in the 8 to 12 patient range. We haven't done as many as some of those other groups have done.
And what's the spectrum of what you've seen in terms of neurotoxicity? Does it always occur? Do you see milder variants?
So it doesn't always occur. I would say that this patient kind of uniquely could have highlighted all of the main symptoms. Interestingly, the patients that seem to have the best longer-term outcome are often the patients that had the most trouble during the infusion. So it may well be that the activation of things is really, you know, a measure of how many of those CAR T cells were truly activated and targeting the tumor cells. So we've had some patients who tolerated extremely well with actually very little in the way of side effects at all. But some of those patients have actually been non-responding patients. And in other patients who've had more toxicity, they've more typically been the ones that have benefited. But there have been some that have gone through treatment quite well without a lot of problems.
That's interesting. In this man, how long did it take before he was completely back to normal? Neurologically?
About 2 to 3 weeks.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard people say that sometimes they see patients who, like, they have trouble with their cell phones. It's more of a low-grade kind of thing than a fulminant type presentation. Have you seen that?
Yeah, so I think there is a distinct spectrum. There are just some people where clearly they're not quite as their usual sharp selves. They just struggle with sort of minimal tasks. And then there have been other patients who really were kind of very poorly responsive at all.
Can you kind of capsulize, you know, roughly what's been seen in terms of efficacy, at least with lymphomas and CLL, with CAR T-cell therapy, and where you think it's heading? And also, you know, I know there have been some recent issues with deaths with one of the compounds. Can you sort of summarize what's going on?
So I think actually this is a very exciting field, and I think we have a lot to learn about exactly how to utilize it. So it's obviously a high risk but yet high reward field. And the reason I say it's high reward is many of the patients going on these trials are exactly like the patient I mentioned. Primary refractory disease, these patients have a dismal prognosis and are clearly benefiting and responding well. And the response rates are running in the kind of 40 to 50% range and even higher in some of the studies in very, very refractory patients. So I think that's where the excitement comes, is that in patients where our expectations were extremely low, we've got patients that are doing really quite well, way better than expected. However, we're pushing the envelope here quite clearly because these therapies are really kind of activating the immune system in a way that we don't fully understand and sometimes don't have a very good handle on. And I tell patients it's a little bit like you have to walk very close to the edge of the cliff to get the benefit, and there is the risk that you could slip and go over if there are a lot of toxicity. So I think as we learn about this, if we really want to see this therapy benefit, we have to have some degree of willingness to run the risk of toxicity, because the patients that have the best outcome are often the ones with the most active immune systems, and those are the ones who have potentially the most side effects.